Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. And once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the old King James Version of the Bible. As I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am excited because tonight we will be starting a new study from the Book of Psalms. Now, this study will expose to us the most beautiful verses that are written in our Bible. And it is worthy to note that King David did not write all of the Psalms. He only wrote 73 of the 150 that are in our Bible. 12 were written by Asaph, 2 were written by Solomon, 1 was written by Moses, 1 was written by Ethan, and 12 were written by the sons of Korah. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, your tablets, your Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Now, another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. Thank you so very much. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God and of Jesus Christ? God said, for a moment, a small moment, have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. This is taken from Isaiah chapter 54, verse 7 and 8. The promise is that you're not going to be forsaken. Mercy will be your treat if you stay steadfast, focused on the Lord. God said, let not the wise man glory in his own wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his own might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glory, glory in this, loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord God. This is taken from Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24 and 25. Now, the promise is that if you focus on loving kindness, judgment and righteousness, the things that God delights in, that the rest of the things that you are looking at, you will receive. Maybe not to the extent that you desire them, but to the extent that you need them. God said through King David, fret not thyself because of evildoer. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. That's Psalms 37, verse 1 through 3. Now, the promise is that if you trust in the Lord, you will dwell in the land, and you will be fed. So do not fret yourself. Focus on that faith. So the question again for this hour is, my precious brothers and sisters, are you standing on God's promises? Now, before we get started, I want all of you to know that the Bible is written in code, meaning written in mysteries, written in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. Okay, now let's go to the study. We're going to look at the book of Psalms, which has 150 chapters. I mentioned it earlier. And I have written 232 instructions for this series of study. And we're going to start with Psalms. Turn your Bible sources with me to Psalms chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 1 through 3. Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to, my precious brothers and sisters, as I read the text to you. Blessed is the man that walks not in the way of the ungodly. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? There's a blessing that comes with the man that walks not in the way of the ungodly. And this is what David told Israel. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does it shall prosper. That is critical, my brothers and sisters. This is what David told Israel. If you focus on God's law, and for the Israelites, there were 813 of them. He said, if you focus on God's law day and night, that you're going to be prosperous, and you're not going to fall folly to the things that the wicked fall folly to. Now, we're going to go to our New Testament complement. We're going to look at the book of Matthew. We're going to look at the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 46. Turn with me now with your Bible sources to the book of Matthew, chapter 24, and we're going to look at verse 46. And this is what Jesus tells us that is so significant, and it is directly in line with what David told Israel. This is what Jesus says. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. So my brothers and sisters, if you are focused on the words of Jesus Christ, on the laws of God, you're going to be prosperous, especially when Jesus returns for you, when God comes back to see, to take you home. He's going to bless you because you're going to be doing that which he says do. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that what you will receive from God for obedience, it's worth it. That's the blessing. Everything that is identified in basic instructions before leaving earth will be attained. But you must work for it. Remember, faith without works is dead. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's go to the next Psalm. We're going to go back to, well, we're going to stay in Psalms number 1, but we're going to go back to the book of Psalms, and we're going to look at Psalms chapter 1, verse 4 through 6 this time. Psalms chapter 1, verse 4 through 6. And what I want you to do, my precious brothers and sisters, is listen or keep in mind the instruction as I read the text. The instruction is, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. And now I will take a break, and after the break, we will continue.
A wise person once said, the tragedy of life is not death, but what we let die inside of us while we're still alive. We think we're the victims, but actually we should be the suspects, because it seems we've killed more dreams than rejection. We've given our ambitions a lifelong sentence. It's trapped deep inside of us. It makes no sense. It's been locked for so long, we've even forgotten its name. Everything we do today feels like it's all the same. Our dream is like a prisoner trapped within us, a vacant listener, lacking all vision. Until someone comes and says, you don't see your own potential. It's like we all need our own intervention, a moment with a mentor, a coach, or a guide, the type that sparks a light deep inside our minds. And then they ask us, what's your passion? We shrug it off and say, that stuff doesn't happen. And then they push us a little further, probe us to think deeper. They're always focused on helping us find the hope inside of ourselves. Let me ask you, would you let someone who had incredible potential die right next to you? You would never do that. So why do we let them die right inside of us? That's why the missing link is a coach. A coach is someone who tells you what you don't want to hear and has you see what you don't want to see, so you can be who you have always known you can be. Some of us get given people, some of us get given lessons, but all of us get given moments to change the trajectory of our lives. We can't imagine Kobe Bryant without Phil Jackson. We can't imagine Serena Williams without Patrick Mouratoglou. We can't imagine Tom Brady without Alex Guerrero. It's not about what we take, it's about what we leave behind. Maya Angelou said, people will forget what you said, they'll forget what you did, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. Picasso said that the meaning of life is to find your gift, and the purpose of life is to give it away. Coaches can be found in books, mentors can be found in schools, guides will be found throughout life. We don't have to be in the same room to understand their point of view. We don't have to know them for them to show you the way. We just have to have the burning desire to learn. Behind every great person is a coach that we may not even know, a name that we may not recognize, a face that we may never see. A lot of people have gone further than they thought because someone else thought that they could.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us continue. We're on instruction number 2, and I want you to open up your sources, your Bible sources, to Psalms chapter 1, verse 4 through 6. Now I'll tell you, I am using the term chapter. Some use the term division, and they're synonymous, if you will. And so just hold tight with me, and I'm going to be calling them chapters. So Psalms chapter 1, verse 4 through 6 is where I want you to focus. And this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as I read the text to you. The ungodly shall not stand in judgment. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? This is what David told Israel. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. And this is what the text says. Psalms 1, verse 4 through 6, it says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now let me get you clear on this, my brothers and sisters, because this is a psalm. And remember I told you earlier, that the Bible is written in mysteries, the ungodly will stand in the judgment, but they are going to be judged according to what they do, their work, and those whose works are opposing God's law will receive the punishment. And that is what's key here. So you should understand that. Now what we're going to do is go to the book of Revelations. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Revelations, and we're going to see what John the Revelator said in Revelations chapter 21. That's toward the end of the story, if you will, the end of the Bible, chapter 21, verse 7 and 8. And this is what he says about the ungodly. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, that's the ungodly, the unbelieving, the abominable, and the murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. My precious brothers and sisters, this is so climatic. Most of us, especially those who are not familiar with the New Testament, Book of Revelations, there are two deaths that we are going to be, that we're subjected to. The first is a physical death. We cannot get out of the physical death. Jesus Christ did not come to save the flesh. He came to save the soul. And the soul, if it is not saved, will be subjected to that second death. So the ungodly that David was talking about in Psalms chapter 1, verse 4 through 6, will end up in that second death if they are found guilty. That is what you should understand. And this is what it should say to us spiritually in our lives, that disobedience to God is costly. You will suffer because of it. It is so significant that disobedience causes suffering. And we call it, or it is labeled in the Bible as judgment. And we should understand that there are forms of judgment. Judgment means correction. Judgment means rebuke. Judgment means rebuff. Judgment means reproof. But judgment means chastisement. Judgment means reprimand. Judgment means punishment. Judgment means destruction. All of those elements that I mentioned to you, somewhere we will fall into those elements. The ungodly will fall into those elements somewhere like that. That is what is costly. And that's what I want you to understand from this instruction, my brothers and sisters. Okay, now turn back with me. We're going to go back again to the book of Psalms. And this time we're going to go to Psalms chapter 2, and then we're going to look at verse 1 through 3 in Psalms chapter 2. And what I want you to get from or pay attention to, this is the instruction. Why do the heathen rage? This is what David is telling Israel about the heathen raging. And this is what it says in Psalms chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Why do the heathen rage, meaning the ungodly, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. My brothers and sisters, that is what the Jews told Pilate. When Pilate says, whom do you want me to give you, Barabbas or this man called Jesus the Christ? And the Jews cast asunder away the cords from Jesus and said, give us Barabbas. And then Pilate said, well, what do I do with Jesus? They said, crucify him. That is the heathen rage. This is what is projecting in this particular psalm. Now let's go to Revelations. We're going to go to our New Testament complement, turn with me, if you will, to see the connection here. We're going to go to Revelations chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 7. Revelations chapter 1, verse 7. And listen, my brothers and sisters, this is what's going to happen at the end. You want to talk about raging heathens? This is what the Bible says. Revelations chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. That is the raging heathens. Every eye shall see Christ when he returns. And those who pierced him will be raging heathens. That is what the book of Revelation tells us. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we have no excuse if we disobey God. It will be brutal for us. We already heard from the previous psalm or from the previous instruction about the second death. That is significant. That's going to be brutal. That's what I want you to understand, my brothers and sisters, from this instruction. Okay, let's go now to the next instruction. We're going to stay again in Psalms chapter 2. And what I want you to do is turn to Psalms chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verse 7 through 9. Psalms chapter 2, verse 7 through 9. And this is what I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. This is the instruction. This is the decree that the Lord God declared. Now, this is through King David telling the Israelites what God has decreed. This is Psalms 2, 7 through 9, and we're going to continue with the instruction after the break.
You've got a right to resist God, to reject God. But the Bible says, in spite of our rebellion and rejection, God loves you. He loves you so much that he gave his son to die for your sins. And when Christ died on that cross, we don't understand all that happened on that cross. But we know one thing, that he took the hell and the judgment that you deserved and I deserved because of our sins. He took it on that cross. And that's why that terrible expression comes from his lips. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because you see, the very meaning of hell is separation from God. And in that terrible moment, a shadow passed between God the Father and God the Son for the first time since eternity began. Christ dying for you, and he suffered the pangs of hell.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's continue. We're on instruction number 4. We're looking at Psalms chapter 2, verse 7 through 9. And the instruction is, this is the decree that the Lord God declared. And this is what you want to pay attention to. This is what King David told Israel. I will declare the decree, the Lord said unto me. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them into pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, we know that this is pointing directly to the Messiah. And we know that Jesus himself said in the gospel that he did not come to bring peace upon earth, but to bring a sword. So we can see from what Paul or David is giving to Israel, this is the inheritance that God is giving to him. Okay, now let's go to Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, and we're going to see what Jesus said in consonance, meaning complementing this. This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. This, in fact, Jesus didn't say this. God said it. Listen to this, my brothers and sisters, about the decree that God made about his son. This is what Matthew chapter 3, verse 17 says. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Did you hear the decree? In the New Testament, that's the connection. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. And what I like to now do is quickly have you turn to Luke chapter 9, verse 35, and this is going to climax exactly what we just read. Luke chapter 9, I'll give you a second to get there. Turn your Bible sources with me to Luke chapter 9, verse 35. And again, this is the voice coming from heaven. This is God making a declaration about his son. This is in the New Testament. Listen to what Luke chapter 9, verse 35 says. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son. Hear him. My brothers and sisters, how plainly can it be explained that God is saying, listen to Jesus. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that Jesus is now the decree. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Jesus Christ. And no one comes to Jesus Christ unless the Father leads him. That is the decree, my brothers and sisters. That's what I want you to understand from what we just read. Okay, now let's go to the next instruction, instruction number 5. Turn back with me now to Psalms. We're going to be looking at verse 10 through 12. Psalms chapter 2, verse 10 through 12. And this is the instruction that I want you to understand as I read the, or pay attention to as I read the text. What is the wisdom of this psalm? Okay? Psalms chapter 2, verse 10 through 12. Now, what is the wisdom of this psalm? And this is what David told Israel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Listen, my brothers and sisters. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Did you hear what the psalmist said? He was under inspiration from God, and we know that God made the decree. We just read it a minute ago. Hear ye him, meaning Jesus. So we must serve the Lord, Jesus Christ, with fear and rejoice with trembling. We remember Paul talks about work out your own soul salvation in fear and trembling. So this is the wisdom of Psalm number 2. And now we're going to go to 2 Timothy. What we're going to do is turn with me, if you will, to the compliment. And we're going to go to Philippians. First of all, Philippians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. All right? This is the wisdom of the psalm, and this is where Paul connects the dot. Philippians chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. And this is what Paul tells us. And that every tongue, listen, my brothers and sisters, what did we just mention about the wisdom of Psalms 2 and kiss the Son unless he anger be kindled? Listen to what Paul says. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Listen, my brothers and sisters, we just mentioned this, out your own soul salvation with fear and with trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. So God is the one. Remember I said that Jesus said that no one comes to the Father but by way of him, and no one comes to him but the Father leadeth him. And this is telling us, for it is God's work in you to will and to do his good pleasure, to come to his son and be saved. And we're going to now, quickly, I want to add to this, we're going to go to Timothy. Let's turn with me, if you will, quickly to Timothy, 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 7. And this is going to give you more of the wisdom. And this is so significant because, my brothers and sisters, a lot of individuals misinterpret this mystery. Remember, I told you that the Bible is written in riddles and mysteries and paradoxes. Listen to this. In parables, listen to what Paul says, and then we'll explain what this means. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, this is the instruction that he's giving to Timothy. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A lot of my brothers and sisters out there misinterpreted what Paul is telling Timothy. For the fear of the Lord, what did we just read Paul said in Philippians? He said in Philippians that work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. And we know that David said, fear the Lord, fear his son, and tremble. And this is telling us, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. My brothers and sisters, what Paul is talking about, he has not given us the fear of evil. Okay? He has given us the fear of the Lord. You must fear the Lord God Almighty. But the fear of evil, he has not given us. But I'll tell you, my brothers and sisters, we've inherited the fear of evil from Adam and Eve in the garden when they were cursed. When God says, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that I told you not to eat of? And my brothers and sisters, I pose this question to you. Why are we still eating from that tree? That's where fear comes from. That is what Paul is talking about. All right? And now this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that the knowledge of good and evil comes to us through Adam and his disobedience to God's commandment. And we have been cursed because of it. Whether you like it or not, my brothers and sisters, you will have the knowledge of good and evil as long as you exist this side of eternity. And because of that, that spirit of fear of evil is within us. And we have to war against it, as Paul says. The flesh against the spirit against the flesh. We must fight the good fight of faith. And that is the only way we're going to overcome it. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction number 6. And we're going to look at Psalm 3, and we're going to read Psalms 3 in its entirety. And what I want you to understand after I read the psalm, this is the instruction, the security of God's protection. That's why I'm going to read it in its entirety. It's not that many. It's only 8 verses, but it's telling us about the security of God's protection. And this is what Psalms 3 says. Lord, how art they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say unto my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. And Selah means to pause for a moment and to think about it. Consider it. Meditate on it. Contemplate it. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Again, Selah, think about it. Pause for a minute. Think about this, my brothers and sisters. I laid me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord God sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. And as we pause for a minute and think about it, let us go to our commercial break. And when I come back, I'll give you the rest of the lesson.
The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, My heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. I've got a promise. Turning back is not an option. There's a calling on my life, and I'm not about to drop it. I got this. For this I was chosen. The final word over me was spoken before I was born. I have a purpose that goes far beyond what I want, what I feel, what I see, and what they say cannot be. With God, all things are possible. And when my desire aligns with the divine, I am unstoppable. In this, I will be confident. Of course the climb is hard. I'm not surprised. The dream is difficult by design to make sure I rely on His might, not mine. His plan, not mine. His hand, not mine. My assignment was conceived in His heart, His mind. And the blessing ahead will always be greater than the battle behind. So this is not the time to compromise or entertain a thousand lies and a million reasons why I can't or it won't or it's not or I'll never. I've heard it before, so shut up, devil. God didn't say He'd make it easy. He said He'd make me better, make me strong, and give me grace to carry on. No matter what the opposition, I only need one weapon. I have the faith to overcome. In this I will be confident. I'm too close to quit, and the stakes are too great for me to hesitate. So whatever it costs, whatever it takes, I keep coming. I show up, take the shot with my hands shaking. The fear is real, but it won't break me. God will not fail me, nor forsake me. I'll keep coming. I'll step to the battle like it's already won. Like I got the enemy on the run. I speak and believe like it's already done. In this, I will be confident. He made me a promise. He gave me a calling. I know that He's able to keep me from falling. I focus my hope. My excuses are gone. The moment to prove the power of God has come. He made me a promise. He gave me a calling. I know that He's able to keep me from falling. I focus my hope. The past is gone. The moment to prove the power of God has come. In this I will be confident. The time is now. The odds are long. The haters are loud. The pressure is on. But devil, you messed with the wrong one. I got my sling. I got my stone. And in the name of my God, I will overcome. In this I will be confident.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we are on instruction number 6, and it's the security of God's protection. We read Psalms 3 in its entirety because it's telling us that if we remain steadfast, immovable, always abounding, as Paul tells us in the New Testament, if we, as Isaiah said, thou shalt be kept in perfect peace, whose eyes and mind are stayed on thee, because they trust in thee and believe in thee. If we are secure in God, we will have that focus, and that is what's going to give us our security. And we're going to look at what Joshua says, what Joshua was inspired to say, or what Joshua heard from God that gave him this confidence that David is telling Israel to display. This is from Joshua chapter 1 and is verse 5 and 6. And this is what is written. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. This is what God told Joshua. As I was with Moses, he said, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. God continues to tell Joshua in verse 6, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. So God told Joshua to focus, and he is the security of their protection. And now let's go to the New Testament. And we're going to look at the compares and agrees. We're going to go to the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. And we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Turn your Bible sources there with me. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. And this is what the Hebrew writer says. about this security protection. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now remember, we just read what God told Joshua concerning that. So that's why we must be content. And verse 6 says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. That is so key, my brothers and sisters, to what contentment gives you. Everyone cannot be Hercules. Everyone cannot be Moses. Everyone cannot be the Virgin Mary. Everyone cannot be Deborah, the judge. What I'm trying to say, my brothers and sisters, is that we have to be content with our calling. And if we're content in our calling, we will be successful with God, because he's the one that gives us our calling. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that if God is for you, who can be against you and overturn you to be lost? My brothers and sisters, no one can accomplish that feat, but you can destroy yourself because of the knowledge of good and evil and the evil workings of the flesh and the spirit. That is what I'm trying to share with you. Keep your focus. And now let's go to the next instruction, instruction number 7. We're going to go back to Psalms verse 4. And we're going to look, or Psalms chapter 4, verse 2. And I want you to pay attention to this instruction as I read the verse. A warning to the sons of men. My brothers and sisters, this is a warning that David gave to Israel. And this warning holds true today. It is very, very significant. This is what Psalms chapter 4, verse 2 says. It says, O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after lisi? Selah. And remember, Selah means pause for a moment. Consider it. Think about it. Meditate on it. Contemplate it. So let's discuss this for a moment. Did you hear what David gave as a warning to Israel? How long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will we deny Christ and the words he has given us to follow? That's God's glory. And it's a shame. As God told Adam in the garden, who told you you were naked? Remember, Adam said that he was afraid and ashamed. Not only was he naked, he was afraid and ashamed. So how long are we going to let the knowledge of good and evil overturn our competency in God? And that entails vanity, worldliness. We must be very careful, my brothers and sisters. We know what Jesus says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the rest will be added unto you. That doesn't mean you cannot have worldliness, but it means that it comes second to godliness. And we must make sure that our godliness supersedes the worldliness we receive. And we talked about contentment in the last instruction. That's why we have to be content with what we have. Every one of us cannot be millionaires. Every one of us cannot be Einsteins. Every one of us cannot be artistically experts or athletic prowess. We must be satisfied with what God has given us. And that is where the vanity comes in. How long will we seek after that? And that's where the seek after leasing comes. And this is what God is telling us. It's to our shame. So that's the warning to all men, includes us today. Now what we're going to do is go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to look at and see what God or Jesus told us more sternly in one verse, Luke chapter 16, verse 15. Listen to what Luke chapter 16, verse 15 says, my precious brothers and sisters. And this is what Jesus said. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. My precious brothers and sisters, listen to this again. Jesus says that which is highly esteemed among men, that's vanity, that's worldliness, that's trying to have what someone else has, and that hasn't been given to you by God. What is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. That's the warning that we have from God. And Jesus gave us that warning. And now this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. That worldliness is against godliness. He that loves the world more than God is an enemy of God. You hear that, my brothers and sisters? Listen. He that worldliness is against God. He that loves the world more than God is an enemy of God. Remember what Paul said in the Romans. He told them, he said that worldliness, man cannot satisfy God in the flesh. And now, before I conclude this thought, we're going to go to a commercial break.
Healing is an incredible word of hope. Hi, John Maxwell here. Welcome to Minute with Maxwell. Every one of us have areas in our life that need adjustments. I've often said that there's no such thing as a good permanent attitude. Our attitude gets out of whack and needs to be adjusted. You think of going to the chiropractor and having him kind of adjust your body? Well, you kind of have to have an adjustment of our attitude. What all of us need in our life is not only adjustment, but even maybe a more hopeful word, a healing. A healing that allows us to maybe be what we are right now. Now, what I know about healing is that it has to be a partnership. I have to do my part. You know, the doctor maybe has to do his or her part, but there's a part for me to play. And I tell people all the time, before you experience the outer healing from someone else, you've got to have the inner healing within yourself. So if I have a great need to be, for example, forgiven, I need to forgive myself. Now I become a recipient to be able to accept forgiveness or to be able to give forgiveness. You see, healing starts on the inside. And once it takes place, we become a candidate for the healing on the outside. That's my hope for you, that you would have healing, body, mind, and soul. Thanks for being with me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we were on instruction number 7, and we're talking about a warning to the sons of men. We read one verse, and David told Israel, how long will you turn God's glory into shame? And we looked at the compliment, the New Testament compliment, where Jesus tied it in even more sternly by saying, that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. And so I wanted you to get from this spiritually is that worldliness is enmity with God. And we know that Paul even brought that out too. That is the bottom line, my brothers and sisters. You don't want to be worldly. You want to be godly. And that is the breaking of that strain between God and the world, is to be godly. Okay. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction number 8. Turn back with me to Psalms 4. We're going to take another instruction from Psalms 4. Psalms chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verse 4 and 5 in Psalms chapter 4. And we're using the King James Version, so I want you to realize that this particular phrase is not in other versions, but it's in the King James Version. And I like the King James Version because it is so paramount with the focus that it gives. Stand in awe and sin not. That is the instruction we're looking at. Stand in awe and fear not. And this is what Psalms 4, chapter 4, verse 4 and 5 says. Stand in awe, meaning fear the Lord God Almighty, and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your own bed, and be still. Selah. There again, pause for a moment. Think about it. Consider it. Meditate on it. Contemplate it. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. That is what David told Israel. And that is so key because we know that Solomon, his son, David's son, continues this thought in the Proverbs by telling us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's standing in awe of God. That the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Again, that's standing in awe of God. That the fear of the Lord gives us confidence. David writes more Proverbs about wisdom and the fear of the Lord than the rest of what he writes in the book of Proverbs. That is so key. And now let us turn to our New Testament complement and let us see what Paul says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 26 and 29. We're going to look at the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 26 and 29. And let me tell you that the revisions of other Bibles have the beginning of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, as the beginning of Psalms chapter 4, verse 4. Remember I said stand in awe? This is where I think the revisions, those who wrote these revisions, decided that because Paul has said this, that it should have been said are written the same in the book of Psalms. This is what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Did you hear that phrase? Again, we just read, stand in awe and sin not. But Paul puts it on this wise. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That is what we should be doing, my brothers and sisters. But instead of saying, be ye angry and sin not, I prefer saying, stand in awe and fear the Lord and sin not. Anyway, that's just a preference that I have, and I wanted to share that with you. So this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that fear of the Lord is paramount to success in Christianity. That's the bottom line. That's the reason I love the stand in awe and fear of the Lord instead of the be ye angry and sin not, because the fear of the Lord is paramount to the success that we're going to have in God. Okay, now let us go to the next instruction. We're going to go to Psalms. We're going to go back to Psalms 4 and get another instruction out of Psalms 4. We're going to look at Psalms chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text. God gives joy to those who obey him. You hear that, my brothers and sisters? You want to be a happy camper? Then you obey the words of God. God gives joy. Remember what fruit of the Holy Ghost is given for acknowledgement of Jesus Christ and being born again, the fruit of the Holy Ghost, joy. And you know what the psalmist says later on, we'll read that in the presence of God is joy. That is key. Now, this is what Psalms chapter 4, verse 7 and 8 says. And as I read it, keep in mind, God gives joy to those who obey him. And this is what verse 7 says. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, makest me to dwell in safety. You hear, my brothers and sisters? You want the joy that God gives from obedience? Then you follow what the psalmist says here, of course, in all of Psalms chapter 4. Now let's go to John chapter 15, and we're going to see how the New Testament complement compares and agrees with what we just read. John chapter 15, verse 10 and verse 11. This is what Jesus says. John chapter 15, verse 10 and verse 11. And this is so significant. Listen to this, my precious brothers and sisters. This is what Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse 10 and verse 11. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be filled. My precious brothers and sisters, you want the joy that God gives? Then you must obey Jesus. Remember early on we have studied tonight that God said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. So again, these things have I spoken unto you, what Jesus is telling us to do, that his joy might remain in us and that our joy might be filled. That is critical. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that the joy of the Holy Ghost is given to those who keep God's commandments. And God told us, this is my beloved son, hear he, him. That means what Jesus has told us is key to our joy. And remember, Jesus says, Pete, I will not leave you comfortless. I will ask the Father to send you another comforter, the Holy Ghost, who will guide you in all truth, who will teach you all things of God, and who will give you the gifts and fruits of God. And we know that that means the wisdom of God, the love of God, the knowledge of God, the joy of God, the faith of God, the peace of God, the healing of God, the long-suffering of God, the miracles of God, the gentleness of God, the prophecy of God, the goodness of God, the discerning of spirits of God, the faithfulness of God, the diverse kinds of tongues of God, the meekness of God, the interpretation of the diverse kinds of tongues of God, and the temperance of God. That is so key, my brothers and sisters. I just wanted to share all that with you. Okay. That concludes our lesson for this evening.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, Blog Talk Radio Talk Show Program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE.